All right, so we'll continue on in our study in Romans. We'll go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. So we just got done discussing last week how there are two types of people. Those that live by faith and what God has revealed to them at that time. And those who suppress the truth and we see how they decline. Right? In behavior and in actions. So now we're going to see in Romans 2 a Gentile who is morally good without God, because you can do that, right? You can be morally good without God. That's your conscience. You can do that. You still need Jesus as your Savior. Don't get me wrong. You still need salvation. And then we're going to look at a morally good Jew who is looking at themselves. So we're looking at a morally good Gentile, a morally good Jew, who look up above at the end of Romans 1 and say, well, that's not me. I don't do those things. Okay, now they're still not living by faith. They're looking at their works on what they're doing in and of themselves. Does that make sense? Okay, so Romans chapter 2, therefore, so we're concluding Romans 1, therefore, you are without excuse, O man. Now, all of man? No, not all of man. What man? Therefore, you are without excuse, O man, whoever you are who judges. So the man, the morally good judging Gentile, or the morally good judging Jew, that man, right? So not mankind. A man who is doing something. Does that make sense? Get you who judges, for when you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge do the same things. Verse 2, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who commit such things. Now it's interesting because somebody who is morally good is showing that there is a God, that mankind needs to live for something, right? This is kind of the area Jordan Peterson's in. I don't know if you guys know who that is. He's a psychologist. I don't think he's saved, but this is what he would hold to. He holds to, like, mankind needs to live for morality. Like, morality is this area right here. I'm summing it up. He says a lot more, and trust me, he's a very smart guy. That's his whole forte is morality, okay, and things like of that nature. And there are several people in the world like that, okay? Several. There were back here. Now, Paul is not addressing born-again people in Rome as far as this is what they're doing. He's concluding. He's showing everyone. He's addressing born-again believers at Rome. And he's showing the history of mankind. He's answering his own rebuttal to what would be natural. Okay, this is what's concluding in Romans 1, all these wicked, filthy things that those who suppress the truth do. And now moving forward to the natural response would be to those smart people in Rome, okay, what about those who are morally good, Jew or Gentile? He's answering the natural going forward. That's how they argue. I wish we had more critical thinking in the world today. We lack critical thinking. I wish we had more. This is a critical thinking resume. He's laying it out perfect. So the critical thinker is going to go, which was prevalent at this time, is going to go, okay, well then if I'm not like that, therefore I'm okay because. And what we're going to see, Paul is going to beautifully lay out, you're not condemned because of what you do. You're condemned because you're an Adam. You're not righteous, not because of the good things you do. You're not righteous because you're an Adam. Okay, does that make sense? Now, he is going to move forward to having the righteousness of God in them. Now, there was a time when you could be righteous with God. Absolutely. Read Hebrews 11. Most, like I said in Sunday school, 1,500 years are under the law. 2,500 years are pre-law. So they're living, good behavior-wise, on what God has revealed to them. Okay? Now, again, they're not being resurrected when they die. They're going to Abraham's bosom, correct? They're going to center the earth. So, the natural response is, well, I'm not like them. Verse 3, do you think, O man, who judges those who do such things and who does the same thing, that they will escape the judgment of God? Do you despise the riches of his goodness, tolerance, and patience, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? This is for the morally good person, right? You're seeing how patient and loving and long-suffering God has been to you. This should help you go, wow, okay, I'm not that great. Now, this repentance here, don't read salvation by trusting in Jesus in it just yet. For 2,500 years, remember, before the law, they're not saying, I'm trusting in Jesus, right? They're saying, okay, nature reveals a deity, nature reveals a God, it reveals a behavior that I should be doing because I believe in God. Does that make sense? All right, so they're repenting from these, you know, critical judgment and hypocrisy judgment and going, okay, yeah, recognizing there's a God and a creator, I'm repenting. All it means is turning to that God, to our creator. Now, moving forward. Verse 5. Well, we'll stop there. Let's tread some water. Has anybody ever been taught or heard that God's goodness leads you to trust Christ as your Savior? Anybody ever heard that? Yeah? Okay, one person? Maybe? One? Yeah. Has anybody ever been heard or been taught that God's goodness will lead you to trust Christ as a Savior? Kind of heard it? Yeah. That's where they're going to get it from. Now, it's not saying that there, right? Now, people are inferring that. They're putting that in there. Eventually, we will get there, but he's going through time, right? And right now, he's working with someone who is saying, I'm not like them, right? Okay, not someone who's living by faith in God moving forward. Paul addressed that in Romans 1. This is someone who says, oh, I'm in the clear. I don't need God. I don't need to believe in him. I live good anyways without God. That's the person. I'm not like them, the Jew and Gentile doing that, okay? Now, I'm not saying in the same breath, I'm not saying that someone can't see God's goodness and get saved. I'm just saying that the text isn't explaining that, okay? Yes. To who? To the moral person who's trusting in himself and being a hypocrite towards those that he's not like. So he's supposed to see that and say, oh, God's been patient with me. I'm going to turn towards God. Okay? Now, verse 5. But because of your hardness and impotent heart, you are storing up treasures of wrath against yourself on the day of wrath when the righteous judgment of God will be revealed. And he will render to every man according to his deeds, to those who by patiently doing good seek for glory and honor, and immortality will be eternal life. But to those who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath will be tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man who does evil, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Now, it's interesting because he lumps in a Jew in there. Now, this Jew, okay, is trusting in his self-righteousness. He's not thinking, I'm loving God with my whole heart, soul, and mind. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. Therefore, the byproduct is I obey the commandments. This person is looking at the law saying, look how good I am. That person is going to have the wrath of God on them. The Jew who is following the law without following God first. Does that make sense? Like a Pharisee, right? A Pharisee speaks Hebrew, they're doing the law, they're following all these jots and tittles, but their heart is far from God. Their lips talk about God, but they are not interested in godly things. Right? That person will receive wrath. Okay? Under the law. Verse 12, as many as have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and as many have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For the hearers of the law are not justified before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these, not having a law, are a law unto themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, while their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them, in the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. Now he's saying all this stuff, okay? The moral Jew, the moral Gentile, all these things that they're saying, we're not like them. Take your Bible and go to Revelation. Keep your spot in Romans. Go to Revelation. So Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, look at verse 11. Revelation 20, 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his face the earth and the heavens fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. You guys ready? The dead were judged according to their works, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead and were in them, and they were judged each one by his works. Then death and Hades were cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So those, back to Romans, those good works that they're trusting in to be okay, right? They're trusting in themselves. I'm not like that. I'm not like them. Now, they might not be a murderer in an action, okay? So I'm not saying that every hypocrite is you know, doing all these awful things that everyone's doing. But it doesn't matter, because we're going to see moving forward that you're all in Adam. In Adam, all die. See, if we get tunnel vision on just a section of Scripture and stay there and go, yeah, but it says here, look what he's doing. He's threading the needle to go to the conclusion in Romans 5. It's all being set up to say, I say all this, now here's what it means, you know, in clarity, giving you a background, Romans 5. Okay, he's setting himself up to get there, okay? So, the moral Gentile and the moral Jew who judge those in Romans 1, okay, they're condemned also. They're condemned. Their works are showing their condemnation. Their works are showing that. Not works of unrighteousness, but their hypocrisy. Okay? They're judging. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Because it's going to conclude in Romans 5 on it doesn't matter what good you do or don't do. Moving forward where we're at right now, you need Jesus. Because in Adam, all die. Now, that means everyone's going to die physically, right? Everyone's going to die. Now, the people before the resurrection went to Abraham's bosom, correct? They were alive down there, weren't they? They were alive down there. The resurrection is the life. So it's the teaching Paul teaches. Resurrection is where it's at. So when I accept Christ, now we can resurrect. When Christ died and rose again, when Christ died, he went down and led captivity captive. No one could go up to heaven yet until Christ died on the cross and rose again. He brought them up with him. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Okay. Okay, so here these moralists are saying, hey, I'm not that bad. I'm not a Romans 1 guy. The Jews saying that, the Gentiles saying that. It's okay, because we're going to see later on that we're all sinners because we're an Adam. Not because of the sins you commit, but because of who you are. Are we in verse 12, Bob? 17. Oh, man, I'm way off. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest in the law and make your boast in God. You know his will and approve the things that are more excellent, because you are instructed in the law. You are confident that you are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, and a teacher of babes, who have the full content of knowledge and the truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach not to steal, do you steal? You who say not to commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? As it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Now, he's really nailing down the Jews, right? Really nailing down those that are just trusting in their lineage and who they are. Okay? People can do that, right? I'm trusting in my last name. Therefore, I'm entitled to these things. And God's saying, no, 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 no. Yes, I established the nation of Israel. Yes, I promised Israel these things. But they were, a lot of them, conditional. The unconditional ones are, I will give you this land. King David will have someone that reigns on here, and you're going to have these borders. That's unconditional. Hasn't happened yet. It's going to. But hasn't happened yet. And then there are things that are conditional, right? If you serve me and me alone, I'll do these things for you. But if you serve and worship idols, I'll allow the nations to destroy you. See the condition there? All right. So there are unconditional things and there are conditional things that God allows. So they're trusting in that, hey, I'm good to go. I have the law. I'm doing it. You know, I'm a 20th generation Jew. We're good to go. And he says, no, you're doing the things you're teaching someone else not to do. Now, it might not be physically seen in me doing this, like me kneeling down to a statue, right? But I have another God in my heart. I might not be robbing this area, but me thinking I'm entitled to take things from the temple because I'm entitled to it, that's still robbing God. So it's seen in different actions, right? We see over history how mankind likes to find loopholes, right? They look for loopholes. Those that want to do evil will find a loophole. Yeah, but look. Well, look at this. Well, look at that. Okay, look at our Constitution. Not to go too far right here. We're finding loopholes. Doot, doot, doot. Anyways, I'll be done there. Verse 25, circumcision indeed as merit if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. That's what Galatians teaches, right? Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteousness of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? Absolutely. Absolutely. So just because you have something physical doesn't mean you're entitled to do whatever you want. God, in all ages, every timeline, every dispensation, every age, always wants the heart. Always wants the heart. Always wants him to be number one. And a reflection of that moving forward. God's number one, therefore I behave this way. God's number one, therefore I behave this way. God's number one, therefore I behave this way. Never the other way around. Never, flip-flopped. Always God's preeminent. God's number one. I'm following God with what I've been revealed, what's been revealed to me, and I'm moving forward. Now, our age gets the Holy Spirit. You have the righteousness of God in you. You are privileged. No one else has ever had that. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit can come and go, and it was only for prophets, priests, and kings. They weren't sealed. They weren't influenced day and night, constantly. It's pretty cool, isn't it? We have him. He's in us. Verse 27, will the uncircumcision of the one who was righteous by nature, if he fulfills the law, not judge you, who by the letter of the law and circumcision violate the law? He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor a circumcision that which is external in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart by the Spirit, and not by the letter. His praise is not from men, but from God. That's what we see. It's always the issue of the heart. So the moral Jew, the moral Gentile, they're looking at those in Romans 1 saying, hey, we're not that bad. Yeah, those guys are wicked. Those guys are bad. I'm good to go. And so Paul addresses that saying, no, you're not good to go, because even as you teach these things, it's not seen. You're not murdering someone with your bare hands, but where's your heart at? You might not be stealing the way it's written down, but you're stealing in other ways, right? So we're going to move forward and conclude that there is none righteous, no, not one. Okay, now that is the righteousness of God in them. That is me saying me in and of myself is righteous. There are righteous men. There are righteous men who follow that which God has revealed to them at that time. If you read in Acts, a man named Cornelius, he's a Gentile. He loves God. His behavior is reflecting that he loves God. He's not a Jew. He's not even worshiping the way that Jews worship God. Hey-o. He knows he's a Gentile, but he recognizes as a creator, and he's living a certain way to honor that God. And so what does God do? He says to Cornelius, your righteous living. This is someone who's not born again. Clear in Acts chapter 10. 8 years since the Holy Spirit's been given to the Jews. He says, hey, your righteousness has been recognized by God. That's pretty cool. So he had righteousness because he was focusing on God. Now, when we read in Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. Absolutely, those that say, yes, I can do it. Yes, I'm good to go. Absolutely. No, there's none of those. The just shall live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. I'm not saying those before law or before the Holy Spirit are sealed with God's righteousness, but they're righteous before God because of their way of life. When was Abraham counted righteous? What? When he believed, right? Lived by faith. Another time it says that he was righteous before God when he went to go sacrifice his son. Right? So me following the Lord, the byproduct is I'll do these actions. Abraham wasn't believing in Yeshua. Abraham wasn't believing in Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. Abraham wasn't even thinking about that. That wasn't revealed to Abraham. Abraham was just following what God had given to him. And it was counted for righteousness. We'll get to that in Romans 4. Pretty cool, right? So, before the law, before the death and resurrection, could a person be righteous before God? Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Those are the ones that were in Abraham's bosom before Christ died and rose again. Now, no one before Jesus, accepting Christ as their Savior, had the righteousness of God in them. And Paul will explain that. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Do you see the difference? There's a difference there. All of mankind needs saving, needs deliverance. But not all of mankind in every age gets the righteousness of God in them. That's the difference. So taking Romans 2 and going, okay, I see that there is a moral Gentile and a moral Jew saying we are good to go. We're not like those in Romans 1. I can trust in me, myself, and I. And they live according. The Jew is saying, I have my lineage. The Jew is saying, I'm worshiping God. The Jew is saying, I'm doing the law and sacrifices. But his heart is not with God. That's the difference. That's the difference. The Gentile in of himself, they're doing the same things. Might not be seen that way, but it's the same thing. So God addressed those who suppress the truth and live wickedly. God addressed the moral Gentile and the moral Jew. Now we're going to go forward, continuing on in the law in Romans 3, read ahead, on even Jews who do good. We'll see what happens to them. Because now the law is fulfilled. The law is complete. The law was the schoolmaster to bring us to who? Christ. The law, in and of itself, is not bad. God ordained the law. It was blessed by God. But there came a time when the law now stops. And now it's believing in Christ, moving forward, what the law was pointing to. But it was a mystery that was revealed to Paul. We'll start seeing that transition. So even if you say, I'm doing the law, I love the Lord, good, this is for you. Now these people are the ones that their hearts are open. You guys following me? Their hearts are open to when they hear about Jesus as the Messiah, they go yes. Because their heart's right with the Lord. They're following the law. And God now is going to send their Messiah through Paul's preaching and go, okay, yes, I see that. I accept that. That's why those that are in the synagogue, you know, learning about Christ and the Messiah and the law, when the preaching of Christ came, they accepted. They weren't trusting in the law. They were just living through it because they were trusting in the God that they loved. They had a heart open to it. So when they heard that, they go, yeah, that's who we're waiting for. You got it. And they accept him. Boom. There's the same people that are in the synagogues when Paul comes, doing the same exact actions as those that get saved outwardly, but their heart's not for God. They're the ones that actually want to go and punish Paul and beat him and whip him. Make sense? They're the Jews that come and stir up men and women to go against them. Look at Paul's missionary journey in Thessalonica and Berea. He's running for his life through there. It's always a heart issue. So don't look at how people are living, morally good, morally bad. Don't let that be your judge. Don't fall into that trap. Well, they're a good person. Says who? What you see? They can't be good unless Christ is in them. Unless you know where they're at spiritually, if Christ is in them or not, do not say that they're good. They're moral. Don't get confused because you like someone because of how they behave. Don't put yourself away from someone because of how they live and behave. They're on the same playing field. There are two people in the world. Those that are born again and those that are not born again. That's it. Not how they look, not their career. Get that out of your head. Saved, unsaved. That's it. How shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? I'm saved. I'm going to go to both. I'm going to go to both hypocrites. I'm going to go to both morally good people to show that the truth is in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today, Lord. We're grateful and thankful for Romans chapter 2. We're thankful that Paul go ahead and lays it out for us, the defense on the morally good Gentile and the morally good Jew. Lord, Ephesians tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The morally good Gentile and the morally good Jew were boasting, Lord. And that's not what saves a person in this age. Lord, allow our hearts and minds to digest the truth in Romans 2, allow our lives to reflect your honor and glory moving forward. Lord, and allow us an opportunity to witness to someone today, even someone who thinks they're morally good, and show them that even being morally good isn't good enough. They need Jesus Christ. Bless our afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.